There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 107 FM Talk, 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad you're along, and a lot more information coming into our studios here during the break. And we have some new updates coming in from our news partners at WKRG. We're going to get to those in a second. Also, people that have been out there on the roads and people that have been there on the water as well. And let's do that first and check in with my buddy Jim Cox. Jim, who has, you had to go move the boat up in the lift. You said the water levels are up down there in South Baldwin County. Hey, man.
Hey, good afternoon. Yeah, I was just, like, shocked. I think it, me, probably like a lot of other people, were kind of like, do I really have to go raise the boat? Do I have to? And I got down to Orange Beach around noon, and I was shocked how much water is already piled up in Cotton Bayou. I mean, it's coming over the banks on the kind of the northwest side there, and almost to the top of our docks at our family's condo there. So I was really surprised how much water's piled up already.
Okay, well, we talked off the air a second ago. You said, "Hey, Sean, the water's up, full and coming out on coming out of Cotton Bayou." Is it because of wave action up there on the northwest side that's throwing it up, or is the water level risen that high?
Yeah, no, the water's really high. Like it's higher than you would usually see it even during a storm. It's almost to the top of our docks at the condo complex, and that only happens during a big flood tide or something. So I was really surprised. I'm sure the wind is helping to pile it up in there, but it's just the water level is sustained surprisingly high for me right now.
Yeah, this is because Dr. Bill was talking about, tomorrow, when the storm's actually making landfall, how much of a north wind our area will have. But, with the storm with Michael way out in the Gulf, we're getting that big push, the waves coming up from the south, obviously the low pressure that goes with the storm, and, that sustained wind piling water up. I think this is going to catch people off guard, because normally they would expect more of that on the day of the storm, right? That would be more like, oh, we'll go do that on Wednesday, not on Tuesday. But you're saying right now, if people have questions that whether they need to be checking on property, that the water level is high.
Yeah, raise your boat's down there. I would say, yeah, go raise it up if you're concerned about that, because it was like a buddy of mine at our condo yesterday. I texted him because I raised his boat up for him, and he said, well, I was just there yesterday, and I thought I put it up way high. So, today is probably going to be worse than even tomorrow, like you're saying.
Yeah, I'm seeing this. Chuck from the text line confirming it up here on our side, on the west side, said just went over Dog River Bridge. Water is way high, like three or four feet higher than normal. So maybe today is the day that people need to take into account on those higher water levels. Everything else look okay? I mean, you're about to have to navigate some traffic to get back to Spanish Fort, right?
Yeah, that'll probably be more challenging than than raising the boat was. But I everything else is fine. I'm not trying to be an alarmist, but this morning I'm like, do I really need to go and raise the boat? I was like, if I want to drive down it, and then I'm like, boy, I'm glad I did. So I'm sure there's other people way smarter than me that were having those same thoughts this morning.
Well, there you go. I think you probably motivated some people to go check on some things, so you did a good job, and hopefully everything works
I'm driving tourism and money being spent to my beloved Orange Beach even during a storm.
There you go. All right, Jim, I'll check back with you soon, man.
All right.
Our buddy Jim Cox with Southern Napa, and of course, a man that's at home, very at home, down in Orange Beach. So there we go. The water level. Listen, he's right. He wouldn't be an alarmist. None of us are being. It's not like, oh, run for your lives. The water's up in Cotton Bayou. It's not that. It's just like simple stuff. If you thought, hey, you have some kind of property down there or whatever, and you're like, well, I'll just go down tomorrow or go down tonight, and something. Maybe you need to get somebody to go look at stuff for you, because it's not. I mean, it's not like there's no big storm surge knocking things down. It's just the water level's up, and it's significant. Let's talk about the traffic, because I think the stress level's up out there. David, you said you just negotiated the causeway here. You can help us understand what LDOT is doing.
Yes, I just came from Loxley, and I came down 31 from Loxley, went up 59 to 31, and came down through Spanish Fort. The traffic is flowing great. It's flowing good right now. It's on 31 all the way until you get west of the Bayway Causeway interchange. I have to really tip my hat to the LDOT and the law enforcement officers that are doing the traffic flow down there, because it's even with the delay on the causeway, it's not that bad, and the delay is being caused because they're taking the two lanes right there in front of Austell down to one lane, so that traffic, the commercial traffic that's being diverted from the Wallace Tunnel onto the Cochran Bridge, and actually don't have stopped. So that's why the delay in the causeway is happening. Your best bet right now for traffic flow is, if you coming from the Eastern Shore, if you get on 31, I mean, if you get on the causeway, is to go down the causeway to the middle of the exit and then get on the Bayway in the middle of the bay and go west towards, because the traffic is actually moving fairly decently on the Bayway westbound right now.
No, but if somebody's coming from the East, or coming from Florida, Are you wanting them to get off at Malbus there and then go up and get on 31 there and then take that to the causeway?
No, if they're coming from Florida, they just need to stay on the interstate.
Okay.
Because it is flowing. There is a delay on the Bayway between the Middle Bay exit back to Daphne, but it is flowing. Their best bet is to just stay on the Bayway, because if they try to get off, it'll actually cost them more time, because it is actually flowing. But if you are, say you're in Daphne or Spanish Fort, and you don't want to navigate all that traffic, the best route is to go the causeway halfway across and then get on the Bayway, because that's where the traffic is flowing best on the Bayway, is west of that interchange.
All right. Thank you for the heads up, the first-hand account, David. Appreciate that. We'll continue to try to get that information and give you some, as you're seeing things out there. Once again, this is not panic, but this is basically, hey, it's traffic. We're trying to make way for the folks that really have an issue, folks from Florida that are coming, that are evacuating over here. Let's do everything we can to make their, they're already in a stressful mode. Let's do everything we can to help them out. Which, by the way, speaking of the water coming up, Jim just called, and then the folks, friends down at Rosmondo Boatworks, said the water's up. They're there on the north side, Perdido Beach, Perdido Beach, on the north side of Inverarity, up in there, and they said the water was up. They would be east, east northeast of Josephine, and there the water's up 2 feet or so beyond normal there. So once again, today may be the bigger day of the, let's just say, higher water. I don't want to call it storm surge, because people take a whole series of things away from that, but let's just say water higher than normal. So if you've got issues down there, you want to check it or whatever, maybe your heads up day. Oh, and Dalton, yeah, I was trying to remind myself to tell you, I'm getting ready to make an offer on that Marlboro camping gear that showed up on Facebook Marketplace today. You remember that? Smoke your way to some camping gear for high altitude pursuits or whatever from back in the 90s or 80s, whenever that was. I'm going to offer the guy some Camel Bucks for his what? Some Camel? Well, no, I never smoked. I'm going to get some Camel Bucks from somebody who smoked back then, and I'm going to try to use those to buy the Marlboro camping gear set. It's an idea. All right, we're coming right back.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 119 FM Talk 106.5. Oh, yeah, somebody's asking. Sometime between now and 2, so you got 40 minutes, we'll give you a shot at winning tickets. Win them before you can buy them, tickets for Jim Gaffigan, his Quality Time Tour. Tickets go on sale Friday for the show. The show May 11th at the Wharf Amphitheater. Grammy-nominated comedian, actor, writer, producer, two-time New York Times bestselling author, top touring performer, and multi-platinum-selling father of five, known around the world for his unique brand of humor, which largely revolves around fatherhood and his observations on life. Funny guy and clean show, but you know, sometimes when you say, oh, clean comic, it's like, yeah, they're not funny. This guy's clean and he's funny. He's sarcastic and self-deprecating. Funny guy. And a show that everybody can go see. Once again, tickets go on sale on Friday. Your chance to win them sometime between now and 2 o'clock right here on Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. All right. Tons of texts coming in here, and I'll try to read through a lot of these and got a lot of questions here, but I am getting foul. Okay. Geronimo, thanks for checking in. Said Foul River over its banks. So now we've got water up at Dog River, Foul River, down at Cotton Bayou. Let's see, the water, the backup on the Bayway starts around the Appalachian River. All right. People are mad that there's going to be more traffic through there's going to be more traffic everywhere right now. I know you're worried about Malbus, but there's more. I mean, we got to, come on, y'all, cut the people of Florida, getting out there some slack. I mean, cut them some slack, man. We've been there before. We know what this is like. Be cool to them. Traffic almost to a crawl westbound I-10 on the Bayway just past Daphne. How often does that happen? You're right. That may be, you know, it might have happened even if there wasn't an evacuation, but I imagine there are a lot of Florida plates rolling west right now. Seas are up down at Dolphin Island, Fort Morgan. People saying a big, big surf down there. Yeah, I would imagine that'll continue. There we go. Ah! And Supermom, who speaks my language, too. Because she calls it the right thing. She just said, I just passed Chocolata Boat Ramp, and you can't see it, totally underwater. At least, though, the equipment's out there, and we can park our trucks in there now, right? So water's... Okay, that gives me an idea. If you tell me... Because we'll get that, you know, in September and in April when we get those big bull tides, the two-foot-plus tides, and you get any kind of south wind, it'll come up. So that gives me an idea. The water... Okay, so it's up. It's definitely up. It's in the parking lots and stuff, but it's nothing... You know, I hate to use, I mean, I guess it technically might be storm surge, but when you say storm surge, people think something else. There's all the lower parking lots on the causeway holding water. Okay, so I can, it helps me because I can check some stuff on the OnDot cams, but it helps me. Y'all can speak my language when you tell me what what parking lots for what boat ramps are underwater. That means actually more to me than anything else. People saying big trucks are hauling tail on 65 trying to make up time. Y'all be careful out there. Y'all be careful. Okay, more stop. Okay, so we got a lot of traffic info coming here. And Dalton, if we can take all this stuff and we can kind of compile it, traffic crawling westbound I-10 at Baldwin Beach Express, mile marker 49. Let's do this. Let's compile all this into kind of just a sheet. And we could run down through this and help people out. I got this note, too, from several different sources out there. Baldwin County Public Schools are out tomorrow. So now you got to, parents, you got to call an audible, figured out what to do with the Rugrats tomorrow. This is just coming in over the last hour or so. Baldwin County Schools closed tomorrow. I guess, Dalton, didn't you say the administrative is closed as well? I think it's everybody stay home. Am I right there? Don't want to be incorrect here. Let's see. Closing of all schools' administrative offices Wednesday, October 10th, because of tropical force winds from the hurricane. This is from Eddie Tyler, superintendent, said I expect schools to reopen Thursday. After-school child care will not be offered Wednesday afternoon. We will experience tropical force wind. We have more than 15,000 students traveling approximately 16,000 miles daily. We will not put them at risk. Okay, so there you go. That's on the list. So we'll keep you up to date. We will compile all that traffic info and try to put it into a kind of one punch list here in just a little bit. Oh yeah, and somebody asked me about a couple of people, Toys R Us story, and we'll get into that in a second. Also, Nikki Haley is out. People asking me if I think Nikki Haley was the author of the New York Times op-ed, the anonymous op-ed. I have no way. I just throw an opinion out. I say no. But do I have any kind of... Same way, I don't think there's any evidence that she is. Me saying that she isn't, I don't have evidence. I think it's probably some lower-level staffer on that, but throw that in the mix. I don't think it is. Also, I had a friend tell me that the Marlboro gear is still available. I don't know. I looked. I found eBay has a big Marlboro stuff for sale, but it looks like it's older stuff, like the camping gear, and there's a raft, Marlboro dartboard, sleeping bag, lighters. Now, lighters make sense. That makes sense, right? Lighters make sense. Here's a logo for the Marlboro Adventure Team. Very limited adventures, but adventure team nonetheless. Swiss Army knives, that's cool. Logoed up. Oh, there we go. But I'm going to see what that guy says, Dalton, because I'm going to offer him, I don't know, I've got to find how many camel bucks people will give me, and I will offer some camel bucks for that guy on Facebook to try to buy his Marlboro camping gear set. And, okay, the Toys R Us story before we run to the news break, because I'm already getting some traffic on the text line about this. Toys R Us is maybe pulling a fast one here. At least that's what some people think, as Toys R Us is coming back. It says, okay, here's a story from USA Today. There's a lot of stories, seven or eight I'm seeing, to come out today. So just in time for the holidays, storied retailer FAO Schwarz will open a new flagship store in Manhattan, its first freestanding location since it shut its stores 3 years ago. Goes through it and says, the retailer is reemerging in time for the holiday season. They'll be the first in decades without Toys R Us, another store chain that, like FAO Schwarz, specializes in toys. Okay. It then goes on to say that Toys R Us, where's the story that Toys R Us is, there it is. Washington Post. Toys R Us brings back Jeffrey the Giraffe, and its laid-off employees are furious. Thousands of former Toys R Us employees face an uncertain future after hundreds of stores are closed, but Jeffrey the Giraffe is back to work. The mascot made a surprise appearance last week at one of the largest wholesale events in the toy industry. That was just days after court filings showed the owners of Toys R Us might be pursuing a comeback, with the hedge funds that own the company opting to hold on to the Toys R Us and Babies R Us brand names, web domains, and other assets, including Jeffrey. Well, I mean, I would argue that that's where the value is, right? Wouldn't you argue that that's where the value's in the brand? I can imagine if I'm a hedge fund manager, I hold on to that too. It says a potential revamp is also coming to light through the company's marketing in a tweet alongside an image of Joffrey clutching a suitcase. The company said its beloved giraffe had simply been traveling the globe for a few months and was back and ready to play. I wonder where Jeffrey went on his sojourn. On Twitter, the company said it was, quote, actively working to bring back our iconic brands to thousands of workers waiting for severance pay and even the chance to get back to their job. Jeffrey's fun-filled return felt more like, quote, lemon on the wounds, end quote, said Kerry Gleason, campaign manager for the worker advocacy group Rise Up Retail. And these are the people that are, Rise Up, that's the people that are protesting for the minimum wage hike to $15, right? Gleason called Jeffrey's reemergence as a PR stunt meant to boost the tarnished brand name should Toys R Us try to reopen in stores and the holiday season gets underway. Says the employees who love Jeffrey and love the brand, and so that's what's insidious about this movement. They are now destroying the last thing that these toy makers and these employees have, which is the brand. They're using it as a last way to make a short-term profit. As Sarah Woodhams, who worked for Toys R Us for 7 years, said, they're saying Jeffrey went on vacation. We certainly did not get to go on vacation, end quote. Now, a few details that spell out how Toys R Us revival would work, including when and how many stores might reopen. The Kirkland & Ellis debtor counsel to Toys R Us U.S. declined comment. The hedge fund Solus Alternative Asset Management did not respond for request for comment. The investment firm Angelo Gordon declined comment. I guess those are people that own the debt. In a statement, Jeffrey Pierce, this spelled with a J, not a G, so this is Jeffrey, not Joffrey, chief investment officer for Snow Park Capital Partners, another Toys R Us lender, said the toy retailer's bankruptcy created a significant void in the toy industry for consumers and the supply chain. I mean, if the void is super significant, then why did they go out of business? Was it management? I mean, isn't that a fair question? I mean, just a kind of a the way my brain works, a market-based brain. If the void is so gigantic there, then why couldn't the company continue to fill it? goes on to say here, quote from this Jeffrey Pierce said, but if the proposed reorganization plan moves forward, the void can be filled in a way that creates new opportunities for former employees, manufacturers, and the brand. That should be the desired outcome for creditors and the company's long-term stakeholders. So, I mean, what's the idea that they would, it goes on to say, the separate arrangement, Bain Capital, remember Bain Capital, Mitt Romney, Bain Capital? Kohlberg, Kravis Roberts, two of the three firms that bought Toys R Us in a 2005 leveraged buyout and loaded it up with billions of dollars in debt. Ah, there we go. Maybe that's why it didn't work. Before liquidating the chain in June, said they would designate billions of dollars in a fund for former employees. A third owner, how many people own this stuff? Vornado Realty Trust is not adding to the fund. Still, details and size of the fund are hard to come by. The Wall Street Journal reported $20 million have been set aside. Rise Up Retail says workers are owed a total of $75 million in severance pay. Before its bankruptcy, Toys R Us had guaranteed workers 2 weeks of severance for their first year on the job, 1 week of pay for every 2 years of work that followed. Toys R Us cited a $7.9 billion in debt against $6.6 billion in assets when it filed for bankruptcy last year. The brand name itself, combined with assets like Joffrey, still have value. So there's, because I'm seeing from texters here that, oh, this is a this might have been a move here to bring Toys R Us back without the leverage, or without the weight of prior commitments to their employees. Maybe I'm going to be surprised if anything happens. How many different players were just named in that Washington Post story that had debt owed to them or were owning the brand? Or it's like 11 or 12. Try to get you and your spouse to agree on where to go to dinner and tell me getting 12 to agree on how to bring back Toys R Us. Steep Hill, coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135, FM Talk 106.5. Yeah, I'm going to get into the little bit of what happened at Mobile City Council meeting today. I'm going to play you some of the audio in just a second. I guess you got the walkout, the sick out going on with people in public works, and maybe even longer until you get your trash picked up. We'll get to that in a second. Do want to give you a heads up. Here's what we have, and thank you, Dalton. He has kicked much tail on this, and he curated a list of what's going on out there with traffic issues and water rising. Once again, this is not emergency panic mode. It is the, hey, let's try to get out of the way and help out those people from Florida that are trying to evacuate the Florida Panhandle. Traffic crawling westbound I-10 at Baldwin Beach Express, mile marker 49. The backup on the Bayway starts about the Apalachee River. Traffic almost to a crawl westbound I-10 on the Bayway just past Daphne. Stop-and-go traffic westbound from the Wallace Tunnel to the Beach Express. Okay. Also, LDOT Mobile saying with assistance from the Mobile Police Department, LDOT is diverting semi-trucks traveling westbound on I-10 to exit 27 to the Cochrane-Africatown Bridge. And I guess they're taking them up there and then letting them get on 65 and come back southbound on 65. So they get them off, take them on the causeway, they go over the bridge, they get on the 165 up to 65 and head back southbound. So you'll probably see more traffic than normal from the big rigs on the 165 and 65 southbound. Also, some of the lower parking lots on the causeway have standing water. Chocolata boat ramp underwater, getting some pictures from there. Foul River over its banks, Cotton Bayou out of its banks as well in some areas. Also seeing Dog River area, water 3 feet or so above normal, up 2 feet at Perdido Beach. And according to the folks on Twitter, National Hurricane Center said massive waves are forecast over the northeastern Gulf tonight and tomorrow morning from Hurricane Michael. Peak seas will be up to, holy snap, although, I mean, we've seen some bigger ones with Florence, but 40-foot seas they're calling for out there. And by the way, too, Baldwin County Coliseum will open between 2 and 3 o'clock this afternoon to assist evacuees operated under the supervision of the American Red Cross. Evacuees should bring anything needed for an overnight stay. Residents, please don't bring donations at this time. If supplies are needed, Red Cross will release a list of needs, all right? Also, Baldwin County Schools at administration. They are out tomorrow. All right, on the west side of the bay, and Mobile City Council today on a Tuesday meeting. I'll just get straight into the audio. There's a whole bunch to it, but this started with this was the discussion of the Public Works Department, and you have the person who has showed up to address the City Council, representing, I guess, the union and the group here with Public Works employees. Listen to this. I think this is what everybody else will be talking about later this week. Y'all get to hear it here first. Let's roll to that.
Good morning.
Good morning.
By the way, this audio is horrible. That's the best.
H. Mason.
But let's just say, everybody, this is as good as the audio comes from the City Council feed. We did everything we could to make it audible.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Reverend Sanders H. Mason III. I am bivocational. I pastor the Hope Chapel AME Zion Church, and I am an operator 3 with the trash department. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the City Council, we rise first this morning to thank you for seeing the need to increase compensation on our behalf. We want to say thank you for your concern for the citizens and the taxpayers of the City of Mobile. Secondly, we come before you because we have no other entity or recourse in this city that will hear our concerns as well as our complaint. We are overworked due to the shortage of employment, employees, and equipment. Even at that, we work in 100-degree temperature and rain. And we manage to keep our city clean. We are working in a hostile environment. The department is unprofessionally. The supervisor in charge of is a workplace bully, and he is trying to be intimidating. There is a film to corroborate this statement, if it has not been destroyed. The box was a help to us in that the supervisors were being trained how to manage. And all that time, we continued at a high level of performance without management harassment. Now that the box has been removed, we have harassment. The relationship between the interim director, the supervisor, and the workers has continuously deteriorated. Our voice has not been heard by interim director, the human resources department, nor the mayor's office in the form of a petition. It seems as if it has fallen on deaf ears. You, ladies and gentlemen, or our next to the last stand of hope. And in 2018, men and women should not feel like we are living in the Jim Crow era, nor should we feel our jobs are threatened by what appears to be racially motivated. The committee that was selected by the Public Works employees to represent us that sat down to relay our concerns to the director have either been moved to other departments or their positions have been eliminated. So, our question is, what is One Mobile and who does it apply to? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Woods.
I have a statement from the mayor in reference to trash pickup, in reference to Hurricane Michael, signed this morning. Hurricane Michael's been upgraded to Category 2 hurricane, likely to reach Category 3 once it reaches the Gulf Coast. Tropical winds are expected to reach 195 miles westward. I'm preparing for an emergency declaration. Trash pickup is already behind. Earlier this morning, 22 of the 36 Public Works employees called in sick. Additionally, 10 Public Works employees left their posts without permission or authorization and are considered absent without leave. I'm directing all able-bodied public works employees to return to work and continue trash pickup to avoid delays for our citizens.
Vice President Manzi.
Mr. Small.
I'd like to ask a question to our attorney, if possible. What do we've been listening to the public workers for months and dealing with harassment, the bots, etc. How can the council launch an investigation? Because we keep on hearing them over and over and over, and our citizens are suffering. And I can imagine the disrespect that the employees get because how the county be disrespected. So how can we launch an investigation to see exactly what is going on before we just stop hearing this over and over and over and over and try to see what can be done with the situation that the workers are bringing to us? I understand that we are limited of what we can do because we do not instruct no employees, but yet there is affecting the citizens of Mobile. So how can we launch an investigation and what can we do from here?
I don't have the provision of the Zogby Act in front of me, but there is a section of the Zogby Act that does authorize the council to investigate. I believe you guys would have to vote. If you want, I'll be happy to look it up and know what the procedure is.
Vice President.
I'll tell you this. I can help Ms. Cochran with that question.
I'm not talking to Vice President.
Mr. Small.
I would like to ask you to work with our attorney to lead this effort, if it's possible for us to go ahead and lead an investigation, because again, we've been hearing this over and over and over. And for them, they say they fall to deaf ears. We don't have a person to listen to them. I mean, basically, we could be moving on to something else on the agenda if this was squashed months ago. And I'm gonna ask you, Vice President, to work with our attorney to see what can we do from here.
I have absolutely no problem with that. Mr. Richardson?
Yes, sir, Mr. Vice President. I agree with Councilman Small. Something is wrong for that many employees decide to walk off the job. Something is wrong. You know what it is? What it is? It's to cry out for help.
Amen.
And it seems to mean that if we don't help them, they will not get any help. The Vice President, you can appoint this matter over to the Public Service Committee to conduct an investigation as to what's going on. We don't need to, we got all of the power we need. We don't need to check with nobody else. The Zogby Act said we can investigate any aspect of the city, any department. We can investigate the mayor, ourselves, or anybody else. We have the power. I don't think we need to wait another moment, another hour, another second. I think we need to do something now before it is too late.
Council, let's do this. We'll pause, come back to this, some of what went down today at the Mobile City Council meeting. Investigations. Council to investigate who they want. Of course, members of the Public Works Department talking about the boss here, John Peavy, City Senior Director of Public Works. They're unhappy with that. It's part of the sick out going on, the freeze out going on. We'll come back and talk about this. Y'all stay close.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 148 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Oh, Dalton, hearing our buddy Gordon Deal there. They sent an email in, and I guess we're going to do an update on the national show tomorrow before we get started with our local show. So This Morning with Gordon Deal runs from 4 till 6 in the mornings before we start Mobile Mornings at 6. And Dalton, so be ready. We'll have to be extra spry. We're going to be on the national show. I hope they understand that the storm is not coming up Mobile Bay. You can talk to them. Said, hey, get your Panama City affiliate on there. No, we want you. Okay, all right. So we'll hopefully check in with us during the show before we start the Mobile Morning Show will be on this morning with Gordon Deal tomorrow, sometime between 4 and 6. We'll have to figure out when that is. All right, phone number, text line 343-0106, 343-0106, a nifty number to know, because I need you to be color number 6 right now to pick up a pair of tickets, win them before you can buy them, for Jim Gaffigan, the Quality Time Tour. Tickets go on sale Friday at 10, Friday morning at 10. You can get them online, Ticketmaster.com. Charge by phone, 800-745-3000. But color number 6 right now at 343-0106. Those tickets are yours, and we'll give you another chance to win some tomorrow, as well as win them before you can buy them week, right here on FM Talk 106.5 for Jim Gaffigan. Should be a great, great show. Also, you want to see some of the pictures that have been sent in to me. Check the Twitter feed at FM Talk 106.5. Some of the boat ramps, completely full or underwater kind of stuff. Y'all can check those out there. All right, we'll get back to some of this audio, and this is what people begin to, we're going to be talking about later in the week, I'm sure. But this is going went on today, Mobile City Council meeting, and yeah, I mean, I'm begging, I'm praying for the day. That's why I truly believe in burkas. Yeah, write that down. I want burkas. Sullivan wants that Sharia law. I would love everybody to be in burqas so we can make decisions about other human beings based on merit, based on what their thoughts are, not on the color of their skin or their sex or anything like that. The burqa thing, I think, would be the solution to all those problems. But, I mean, in this discussion, so we basically have a couple things. We have I think it may be a real war and a proxy war going on. In other words, Public Works Department is upset. It sounds like at least this union, this group, those that were speaking. I can't say that this person spoke for everybody in Public Works. I don't think that's fair. But representing people from Public Works, they're upset that John Peavy is, they said, a bully here. He's a senior director of Public Works for the city of Mobile. Upset with that. Now, remember, we are like 13 weeks behind in trash pickup. Not garbage, but trash pickup. And now, you know, they're saying that we've had this sick out, this walk off the job thing going on here. And then you had a reference to Jim Crow. I mean, really, really, this is the kind of stuff where you have real bigotry and real racism. When this stuff happens for some kind of desired political outcome, when this stuff happens, what it does is it waters down the reality of what is real bigotry or real racism. I just eye rolling here on this thing, but it is a proxy battle also, because you heard the tip of the hat to the city council for voting the pay increase for Public Works, and you've got the administration saying they suggested the same thing, but they did it on merit. Now the idea would be tenure versus merit, and maybe that's where the breakdown is. We'll get back to the audio. I do want to say congratulations to Daniel Leonard of Mobile. Just won a pair of tickets to go see Jim Gaffigan. That show coming up Saturday, May 11th at the Wharf Amphitheater. Tickets on sale Friday, this Friday, 10 a.m. Ticketmaster.com. Charge by phone, 800-745-3000. All right, we've got some time to get back. Let's get a little more of this audio. Pick it up where I think Councilman Richardson was talking.
But I want to make sure something's not lost here. Okay? We often make the comparison between Public Works and public safety. And in a moment, Chief Barber will tell you where our public safety people are right now and what they're doing. When I was reading this statement, this is a directive from the mayor under 1144C37. I've instructed all able-bodied Public Works employees to return to work. That is a direct from the mayor with an impending storm. I received the letter to declare an emergency from the city clerk on yesterday. They typed it up for me. We have the declarations ready to go with an impending storm. We're behind on trash 13 weeks. And so, just to be clear, the mayor has given a directive to all employees who are able-bodied to return to work. That includes the 22 who called in sick and the 10 who decided to leave and be absent without leave.
Mr. Vice President.
Mr. Richardson.
I agree with what we just heard from Attorney Ricardo Woods. I'm not, what we're saying has nothing to do with them going to work.
Right.
If I issued the directive for them to go to work, that's what they ought to do. It has nothing to do with investigating what is happening to them.
Correct.
I still say we need to move forward to figure out what is happening to them and for us to make a recommendation to the mayor's office as to what the remedy for this is.
Mr. Small and Mr. Richardson, your recommendation is duly noted. Madam Council Attorney, if you could look through those provisions and get us something as soon as possible relative to how we would proceed, it certainly would be appreciated. Reverend Mason?
Yes, sir.
Do you have any further commentary or is there any other questions of Reverend Mason?
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
We are not located on Gale Street. We are on Hurtel. The trash department was moved from Gale Street some time ago. So when you send your cameras to investigate us, we won't be there. We'll be on her tail.
Well, thank you for coming down to...
Mr. Vice President, I have a question.
Mr. Daves and Ms.
For Reverend Mason. Reverend Mason, the form that I got from the city attorney says that when you called in to speak, the subject was trash. It says trash in his neighborhood.
That's right.
And I don't recall you speaking today about trash in your neighborhood.
He did state that trash is not being picked up in the city of Mobile. So his neighborhood is located in the city of Mobile.
Do I have to be interrupted by Councilman Small when I'm asking a question?
Mr. Days has the floor. Mr. Small. Mr. Days has the floor.
We pick up trash. Matt, yesterday we did 3 routes. So we are not 13 weeks behind. We may be 2 days behind.
That's not the question I should ask, Reverend Mason.
You want me to answer your question? Give me time. Now, we picked up all of those routes on yesterday, and the trash on my street is beginning to build up again. Now, we take care of West Mobile better than we do the south part or the northern part of Mobile. We spent 2 weeks in West Mobile, where I live, picking up trash. But residents who live in Tolmanville and Maysville, their trash, DIP, their trash stays on the ground a little bit longer. We were on Tolmanville's side and we're instructed to go to West Mobile because the citizens out there cry a little louder than the ones in the north or the other parts of the city. Now, on my street, I had trash. When I called, we had trash on the ground. And I'm talking about the citizens on my street, as well as these gentlemen you see standing behind you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So, listen, we'll get more into this tomorrow and start dissecting it. But you hear the contention down there. You hear the contention of this battle that's laying out between, I think you have two things. You have a direct battle, a question for the Public Works employees to the director, Peavy. Okay. Then you have a secondary, I don't know, maybe, you know, I don't know what's in the minds of the members of the council, but maybe there's a little proxy war going on that continues from those budget amendments there between the administration and members of the Mobile City Council. And so maybe both of those are wrapped up together. I'm not sure. We'll have to try to dissect that and maybe get some of the players on the show to talk about this going forward. All right. And we'll do that on, sometime this week, probably on Midday Mobile, I would hope. Also coming up tomorrow, Mobile County Sheriff Sam Cochran joins us, lots to do on the show. And we will get into that. Also the latest from Washington. And yeah, the latest on Hurricane Michael with staff meteorologist and tropical weather expert, Dr. Bill Williams. That's all coming up this afternoon, tonight, and tomorrow, right here at FM Talk 106.5. Now, can we...
To investigate us, we won't be there. We'll be on her tail.
Her tail. All right, well, be on her tail. Be on her tail. So,
Vice President, I have a question.
So, are we going to have not a 10th Avenue freeze-out? Now, is it a Hurtel Street freeze-out? Can somebody rework the song for me? It's one of my favorites from The Boss. Can we... Somebody with a karaoke machine? Hurtel Street freeze-out? Paul Feinbaum on the way next. We'll see y'all in the morning.